Chapter 33. Tai. A delightful aroma brought Tai to a sudden halt as he glanced across the street at a colourful sign that read, Reloria's Sweet Shop. It was outlined with painted images of sugar sticks and chocolate drops. His mouth salivated on cue. After glancing at the list of items his mother had asked him to purchase, and realizing he was nearly through, Tai folded the slip of paper and stuffed it back inside his brown overcoat. Pushing on, he reached the last shop on the west side of River Street before catching a glimpse of the white dome of the Sidaran Assembly. The building clearly marked the end of the shopping quarter. Just beyond, Tai could make out the larger dwellings of the upper residential districts, home of the Sidaran ruling elite, as well as a few of the more prominent business owners. Wrinkling his nose, he caught a whiff of the sickly sweet smell of fermentation drifting from the vintner's place of business on his left, and, not wanting to linger around such an abrasive odour, he started across the street. Master Orlin's shop was the next one down. The sign out front depicted a couple of jars filled with fresh herbs on a green background. Over top of the images were gold letters spelling out, Apothecary. Stopping partway across the street to allow one of the upper-class carriages to pass, Tai turned at the sound of horse hooves. Four riders directed their mounts out from behind the Justice Hall, their white mantles bearing the insignia of an open blade piercing a rising sun, was enough to send Tai into a panic. He dodged around the carriage and hopped onto the sidewalk, nearly colliding with a well-dressed lady who was busy balancing a large number of bags and small packages in her arms. Apologizing quickly, Tai leaped inside the apothecary and shut the door. His hands shook as he peered out the front window at the men riding by. The riders passed the shop and kept going. Once content with the fact that they had continued on, instead of stopping to drag him kicking and screaming off to the White Tower, Tai breathed a sigh of relief. He turned around to see if anyone had been watching, and realized this was the first time he had ever been in Master Orlin's shop. The inside smelled of the forest. It was invigorating. The walls of the shop were lined with ivy. Colourful blooms of gold and lavender sprouted from each vine. It gave the appearance of having stepped into a small glen, as opposed to a city shop. There were even a few shoots rising between the floorboards. Tai took a moment to glance around at the jars of aromatic plant life that lay spread across multiple aisles of shelving.
Well, hello, young Tai. How are you today?
The apothecary's familiar voice rang out from the front of the shop. Tai poked his head out from around one of the aisles. The older man was heading in his direction. His baggy robes swept the dust from the floor as he came.
I'm doing well, Master Orlin.
Tai stepped away from the shelf of plants he'd been studying to retrieve his list.
I was told to get some sage, some mugwort, rosemary, and also some coriander.
Tai struggled to pronounce what his mother had written before giving up and handing Orlin the folded parchment.
Ah!
The apothecary pointed at the sheet with a flicker of amusement on his face.
Coriander.
Master Orlin inspected it further.
I should have all of this. If you'll give me just a moment, I'll pull them for you.
And before Tai had time to even nod his thanks, the man was off. A doorbell at the front rang out, signaling the entrance of potential customers. Tai could hear the two ladies gossiping away as he quietly moved to one of the back corners and started rummaging through a couple of the lower shelves, trying to get a closer look at some of the goods on the bottom.
Yay!
Came a high-pitched shrill from a few shelves over.
There is magic being used in this shop.
Tai tripped over one of the jars he had been looking at, and fell face first into the adjacent shelf, nearly tipping it on his head. From his hands and knees, he peeked through a dusty niche to see what was happening. He caught a glimpse of Master Orlin quick-stepping down one of the aisles toward the two overly dressed women.
What seems to be the problem, madams?
There is magic being used in this establishment.
The plucky lady on the left huffed, her raised chin holding steady at an upward angle, as she tried managing a position that would allow her to look down at the apothecary. A rather difficult task, Tai observed, since Orlin was nearly twice her height.
I have a mind to report this to the magistrate.
Tai slouched behind the closest shelf. This was starting to turn serious.
Madam, I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation.
Poppycock,
she said, wielding her small handbag like a weapon at the tall apothecary.
I know magic when I see it, and I am a woman who knows her duty. I will see every one of you evil wielders drawn and quartered before I let you try taking over my town. Filthy creatures.
At that pronouncement, Tai was now attempting to crawl under the shelf. Orlin produced a kerchief from his robe and wiped his brow.
If you would be so good as to explain what you saw, I will be only too happy to help you in any way that I can. But I'm sure the city patrol would be quite put out to find you had wasted their time without evidence.
Humph!
She crossed her short arms over her chest.
Are you accusing me of seeing things, apothecary?
No, ma'am.
Orlin nervously tugged on his long beard.
I just want to keep you from looking a fool by bringing something to the officials without having investigated it further.
The lady and her friend seemed to consider his words a moment, but not wanting to concede the point, they merely nodded. He bowed slightly.
Thank you, madam. Now, please explain to me what it is you think you saw.
I didn't think I saw anything. I saw what I saw. Isn't that right, Fortunia?
It is indeed, Helene, her friend said. It is indeed.
My apologies.
Orlin wiped his forehead once again.
Please forgive an old man his fumbling use of words.
The ladies appeared to be satisfied as the short, thin one with the big mouth stepped forward and pointed at one of the potted plants.
Right there. There's where I saw the magic.
Tai tried peering out from underneath the lower shelf in hopes of catching a glimpse at what they were talking about.
Ah, now I'm beginning to see.
Orlin stepped around to the yellow-stained clay pot and pulled it from the shelf.
Yes, you have a good eye, Madame Helene. Did you see the petals move?
Both women began nodding at once.
Ah, I see. Well, this is a rare form of flora known as dragon's breath. And even though it bears the name of a mythical creature, it harbors no magical properties. It was so named because of its aversion to heat. It only blooms in cool climates. My guess is that you got a little too close and your breath caused it to retract, hence its name.
He admitted with a look of humorous guilt. Dragon's breath?
Why, I never...
she scolded, her eyes bulging as she struggled to determine how to refute his accusation. Not being able to produce a witty rebuttal, she merely grabbed hold of her companion's arm and scurried out the door. Tai couldn't help but laugh at Master Orlin's joke. The old man winked in his direction and then went about replacing the plant.
Too many people like her have been indoctrinated for so long that magic is evil, and all wielders should be disposed of. It's sad, really.
He shrugged and shook his head, before launching himself back into acquiring the rest of the ingredients on Tai's list. Tai had to acknowledge the ease with which the old man moved from one shelf to the next, knowing precisely where all his merchandise was located, something Tai would have believed rather difficult, considering the vast selection he possessed. But before Tai had managed to find the end of the first shelf in his perusing, Master Orlin had returned to his desk at the front of the shop, where he signalled for Tai to join him. The apothecary individually wrapped each of the herbs in oiled parchment before rolling the entire bundle in a wax sheet and tying it off with a piece of string.
"That will be 2 silvers and 3, he said.
Tai counted out the few remaining silvers and coppers in his pouch.
"I hope I have enough left for a sugar stick."
The tall apothecary slid the coins into his hand as Tai grabbed the wax bundle.
"Thanks, Master Orlin, for the help."
"You're most welcome, young Tai. Visit any time."
"Thank you, I will."
Tai closed the door behind him and stepped back out onto the crowded sidewalk. Heading back toward Wood Lane, he attempted to dodge the other townsfolk as they went about their business.
He wondered how people could stand living in such a crowded place.
He struggled to weave in and out of people's way as they meandered by, heavy in their conversations and completely oblivious to his presence. He made it back to the main intersection at the center of town and turned left on Wood Lane. The spice merchant was the last shop on his list, and it was still about 5 or 6 shops down on the far side of the road. Passing by Peeler's Bakery, Tai once again found his mouth watering at the smell of freshly baked pies and soft bread. He continued across the street, trying to avoid an oncoming wagon. It was laden down with a fresh supply of pumpkins, which he figured was probably heading for Mazard's Chandlery. Once inside the shop, Tai dug out his list and rummaged through the jars of spices, while at the same time struggling not to sneeze in response to the strong odor that enveloped the crowded place. How the owner could handle working in there every day, he would never know. Thankfully, he was able to gather what he was looking for in short order. He gave the owner his money and left, stepping around a few customers on his way out. With his shopping completed, Tai opened the small coin pouch to find enough coppers left over to make one last stop at Reloria's. He was just tucking his coin pouch back into his tunic when the sound of a familiar voice from somewhere in the crowd ahead caught his attention. Laughing rather loudly, Tai could see Liesa making her way across River Street with a couple of friends, but instead of continuing on, they turned and were now heading straight for him. He couldn't tell if she had seen him yet or not. Spinning around, he wove his way through the oncoming crowd and turned down the first alley. The sign over the closest door was so faded with age that it offered no clear hint as to the shop's purpose. But, at the time, all that mattered to Tai was finding a place to hide. He tried the knob. It was stuck. Putting his weight into it, it finally gave way. He had just moved across the threshold when Liesa and her friends started past the small lane. Before he could get the door shut, she had turned and looked right at him. He quickly closed it the rest of the way, leaving only a crack to peek from. Had she seen him? He couldn't see how she would have missed him. Liesa wiped a fold of red hair from her face as she studied the fronts of the small shops on both sides. Shrugging, she eventually moved on. Tai exhaled his relief before backing away from the door and turning to get a better look at his surroundings. The room was dark. The windows had been draped over, and the only light came from a few candles placed haphazardly around the shelving. He was reaching for the handle to exit when an aged voice from the back broke the silence.
The shop's open, boy, if you care to look.
Turning back around, Tai could see someone slouched in a rocking chair near the back. Half her body was masked in the dark shadows of the corner where she sat. The floorboards under her chair creaked as she continued rocking back and forth. A black shawl fell across her lap. "Thank you, ma'am," he said, feeling a growing sense of unease. Not wanting to cause offense, Tai decided to have a quick look around and then be on his way. As his eyes adjusted to the dim light, he started making his rounds. The room held an impressive assortment of oddities, including some gaudy jewelry, dusty chalices, crystal orbs, daggers with strange emblems, and an unusual mixture of exotic herbs and insects. After seeing a cluster of what looked to be shrunken heads hanging from some string in the corner, Tai quickly turned to make his exit, but a small shelf of old tomes caught his eye. Before long, he found himself excitedly flipping through the titles written on the fading spines. He quietly read each one to himself as he thumbed through them. The Foresight of Divination. Poison, the Lost Art. Reshaping the World. Elixirs of Life. The Marked Ones. Who or what are the Marked Ones? Shrugging, he kept looking. It was a rather strange assortment of titles to have in a public shop, Tai thought. Then his eyes caught the second to last volume, and the hair on his arms stood up. The Hidden Magic of Fae. Magic. Tai wondered how it was possible that a shop like this could be allowed to operate when the very use of the word magic brought with it both fear and trepidation, as well as armed guards in white uniforms. Tai pulled the volume from the shelf and opened it, dust flying into the air and around his head. He sneezed after his first inhale. Wiping his nose with his sleeve, he jumped when he realized the old lady was suddenly standing beside him. How long had she been there?
"What did you find there, boy?"
she asked as she hobbled a little closer, her cane tapping on the wooden floorboards. She reached out with what had to be the oldest, most shriveled hand Tai had ever seen, and proceeded to turn over the cover.
"Ah! I see you have an interest in that which is most dangerous."
No, I was just looking.
More like you were drawn,
she said as she studied his face. Tai swallowed. What do you mean, drawn? She cackled.
Not just anyone can find this place. Only those with the gift.
She winked in his direction, before handing him the book. It's not that hard to miss, Tai pointed out. You're right in the middle of town.
Ah, that's the fun part. What you see as a shop, those of the Junri see as nothing more than a doorless extension of the building next door.
Tai cocked his head to the side.
Don't believe me? Then ask yourself why your little red-headed friend didn't see you.
How did you know about... The old woman smiled.
It's not just that those without the gift don't see the shop. They are compelled not to. A little bit of magic I learned years back.
The shopkeeper took another step closer to Tai.
Let's talk about you, shall we? There's something different about you, isn't there?
Something about the old woman gave Tai a tingling sense of dread. He wasn't sure whether it had more to do with the way she had crossed the room without him knowing, or the repulsive way her wrinkled flesh seemed to hang from her bones, or the fact she kept inching her way in his direction when she thought he wasn't looking. But the entire place lent itself to the idea of a creature's den, more so than a simple shop of trinkets. Suddenly, the old woman's head tilted back, and she sniffed the air like an animal hunting its prey. "Yeah, it's time to go." Slapping the book shut, Tai tossed it on the shelf and turned to make a speedy retreat. He didn't make it two steps before the old lady had a hold of his wrist. He tried to pull himself free, but stopped when he heard a simmering sort of sound coming from where she was grabbing his arm. It sounded like a wedge of pork grease being dropped into a hot pan. The old woman's eyes widened in shock. She jerked her hand away and let out a horrific shrill that turned Tai's blood to ice. She lifted her hand and gawked as the skin around her fingers and palm started molting in clumps and sloughing to the ground.
"It's you,"
she screamed, pointing a bony digit in his face. If Tai's eyelids had opened any further, his eyeballs would have fallen out. Terrified, senseless, he bolted for the front of the shop, threw open the door, and ran like he'd just seen an old lady melting in front of him. He didn't even take the time to spare a glance behind to see if the old woman was in pursuit. Tai charged out of the alley and plunged headfirst into Liesa, knocking her clean off her feet and into the arms of her three companions.
"Tai, what the blazes?"
she cried out, trying to gain her composure as well as her footing.
"I thought that was you I saw turning down here earlier."
She dusted off the long sleeves of her rumpled dress.
"Where'd you go?"
Noticing the look on his face and the direction in which he nervously kept glancing, she peered behind him and back down the narrow lane.
"What are you looking at?"
Her expression was just as befuddled as his. "You look like you just tried absconding with the butcher's daughter." Without saying a word, Tai turned and half walked, half ran in the opposite direction. Liesa left her friend standing on the corner and chased after him.
"Where are you going?"
she demanded as she tried catching up.
"The least you could do is have the decency to talk to me after you practically assaulted me back there." "Sorry, I've got to go."
Quickening his steps, Tai abandoned the entire notion of stopping at Reloria's and was focused solely on making it back to Waddle and getting home.
"Sorry? Is that all you have to say?"
They finally reached his horse, where he promptly untied the reins. "What more do you want?" he asked as he jumped into the saddle. He turned back around to get one last look at the small alley beside the spice shop.
"Besides, your friends are waiting for you." "Well, a simple conversation would be nice."
He was a little taken back by her openly expressed desire to talk with him, but after what he had just experienced in that mad shop of horrors around the corner, he had no intention of sticking around for anything else.
"Sorry," he said, as he turned Waddle's head around, "but I have to go." "What? Right this very moment?"
Kicking with the heels of his boots, Tai spurred his horse into action and shouted back over his shoulder,
"Maybe some other time."
Tai glanced over his shoulder. He could see Liesa still standing there on the side of the street, with her arms crossed and a look of payback written on her face. He knew she was going to make him regret that sooner or later, but at the moment, he had more important things to worry about, like who was that old woman, and why did she seem to know who he was, and why, in the name of the Dark One, did her hand start dissolving right after touching him? Was it something he had done?
Had he somehow invoked his strange blue fire and didn't notice?
He almost felt sorry for having hurt the old lady. But then he remembered the hungry look in her eyes when she had grabbed him, and he took it back.
He needed to get home and tell his parents.